Hallelujah. It's good to see you all. First Sunday of the new year. Happy New Year. Happy 2024 for all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before I say anything, I just want to say this, that I don't know how many were here on Wednesday, the past Wednesday, which was 3rd January 2024. And Pastor Craig brought the message out. It was a prophetic message.
Yes.
It was a prophetic. It was not just a regular word. It was not a doctrine or anything like that. It was not simple, basic, how to be led by the Spirit of God. He does that throughout the year. The first Sunday or the first Wednesday was, the first Wednesday which he preached was a prophetic message.
Yes.
What is prophetic? Prophetic is for your future.
Yes.
But it starts the day he lays it out.
Yes.
So he did it. If you have not listened, I beg you, go and listen. It's for your future. It's for your kids' future. It's for your money. It's for your health. Everything is connected to that.
Amen.
If you have listened, go back and listen. It won't hurt you at all.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the prophetic message he brought. He brought from 1 Kings chapter 18. And we have been going with him on a journey. How the past 7 years, the previous 7 years, how it has been. He has been so properly laying it out.
Yes. Yes.
And the word of the Lord that came to him was, the ears of Elisha ended, but the ears of Elijah has begun.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he preached from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 35. And then he said, we finish here because this is a year for this year, whatever he did. And he said, this is called Mount Carmel year. Not Caramel, Carmel year, sorry. Mount Carmel years. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the first thing he did was he built an altar.
Yes.
And I have put the message title. It's long. I'm not used to that long titles. Build your life as an altar for God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bring some excitement when you come to church.
Amen.
Excitement is not just for birthdays. Excitement is not just for your Saturdays. Excitement is not just for your own little things. They are good, have it. But if you don't bring it to the local church, the portion you bring, the measure you bring, the measure you'll take it back. People think, I came. No. Your attendance is the least important thing in front of eyes of God. Your involvement is the most. And you are excited means you're involved. Right? I love sports. I like sports. I watch sports, not as much as you think, but I do watch. And one thing about sports is nothing without fans.
That's true.
And fans, because when COVID started, they were empty fields.
Yeah.
The players played, the coaches were shouting. And the funny thing was, coaches now, with the fans, when they shout, the players are not hearing anything, but they are doing their best to shout.
Yeah.
But when there were no fans, they were shouting, every single player was listening to what he's saying. Like, excuse me? Because there was no involvement of fans. There was no cheering up. There was no, hey ho, hey ho.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that.
Yeah.
And the players complained.
True.
Everybody complained. They have to bring the artificial noise in there to please the sports people, to bring them the best out of them.
Yeah.
When the ministers comes and say, the more you pull by your excitement, by your response, the more you will receive.
Yeah.
It's everything involved for both of you, me and you.
Amen.
And when we both come out full out of here, it's for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And at the end, we are here because of kingdom. Because I never knew him. I never knew him. I never knew you before this. But when we came in one kingdom, we all became one family.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are one team running and shouting for one purpose for life.
Amen.
That is not money. That is not status. That is not me above him. No. All one purpose. That our King Jesus gets higher and higher. More brighter and brighter. And more stronger. And this world around here can see Jesus through us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. Because we are talking about an altar. What is an altar? Huh? We have time? Oh, we have lots of time. Hallelujah. Right? What is an altar? People in the Old Testament has been doing this. People have been practicing. People have been building. Altar is a place where natural and supernatural meet together.
Yes.
They come in one place together.
Amen.
God asked purposefully to Moses when he gave him the heavenly vision on the earth. He said, make an altar for sacrificial offerings, burnt offerings. Then he said, make an altar of incense also. Means God wants the altar. God desired. It is a significant place in the Bible. Whether it was in Old Testament, it is not diminished even now. Now, we don't do it as they did, because they had to build it from scratch in the natural. We don't do that, but it's still an important part of Christianity, or you can say of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, through Abraham, did a lot in the world. We are Abraham's seed, spiritual seed. When Abraham received his first son, which was Isaac, what did he do when he was 13 or 14? He said to him that, I want your son as an offering for me. Go to a place and build me an altar and lay your son as a sacrifice on there, because I need him. Genesis 22, you can go and read. He said that. And when Abraham, without questioning, went up and did what he was supposed to do and built an altar from scratch, put his son there, put the wood there, everything together, and then the voice of the Lord came. Then or the word of the Lord came, or the presence of God came.
Yeah.
Altar is a place where God wants to show his presence. Altar is a place in the past, in the Old Testament, where God's presence manifested. Now, we don't do the way in the Old Testament was done. Old Testament was different. But we are not like the Bible, by Pastor Craig says and other ministers, it's a type and shadow.
Yes.
But we have the reality.
Yes.
Is shadow the reality, or the one who creates the shadow is the reality?
Yes.
They had a shadow. They had a type. We have the reality. Means it's more important than last time, or previous decade, or previous generations, or Old Testament. This is more important to have an altar for God in this present age.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying to you to go and make altars in your basements or on the backyards. I'm saying is to make an altar is a spiritual altar.
Yes.
That's what Pastor Craig, all through Wednesday night, he preached, and there was an anointing upon him, which was different. If you are a spiritual person, which was different than the regular Wednesdays.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The way he preached, the way he spoke, the way his face was, it was totally different.
Yes.
Because we have entered into a new place of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he said was, make a decision. When Elijah said, brought the prophets of Baal and everybody, he said, make a decision.
That's right. Yeah.
Then he said, come near me. Then he said, bring the wood. Then he said, do these things to pour the water on the sides. He was involving people. He was doing what God told him to do.
Yeah.
That is what God has spoken to our pastor, to our man of God for this year. Don't go for the words which others give, which are more or higher or something which pleases your soul or which supplies to your needs or which fits what you want in your life. But go with the word first, what is given from this pulpit if you're a member of this pulpit. It won't benefit you that much, whatever you run with that. But if you stand here and say, this is my local church and I'm connected here, my life is here and invested here, whatever comes from this pulpit, that is the foremost and first word that should be in your mind, in your eyes, in your ears, in your heart, and run with that, because this will bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because somebody can say and say, this is an year of more or blessing or increase or highest, whatever. And I'm not saying it's not. It is. But listen, the year for us is that we built an altar for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You just want the increase for 1 year, or you want it for life? If you want it for life, then you have to start where the basics start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So altar is a place where supernatural meets the natural. Let's go to Judges 6th chapter and read from first verse. Hallelujah. It's a story of Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel made for themselves the dens and the caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither their sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of Amorites, in whose land you will dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." Hallelujah. The blessings are not your right only, but blessings are conditional, first of all.
Yes.
Blessings are always conditional. Your protection is always conditional. Your success is always conditional. Your marriage is always conditional. Your prosperity, your kids' future is conditional to what the word says.
Yes.
It's not where you are born, it's what the word says.
Yes.
You are living in one of the best countries in the world, but what the word says is above what the country dictates. So you have to understand that they were also like us, as a children of God. Yet because they disobeyed God, yet because when God said, don't do this, they did it. What happened to them was they were given on to bondages. They were given on to things they didn't desire. Seeing their own kids in bondages hurts them.
Yes.
Seeing your own child suffering, there's one thing, you suffer. You say, I can suffer for my child also. But when your children are suffering in front of your own eyes, then the heart is crying out. When the heart is crying out before the Lord, and the Lord said to them, now, what did I say and why did you do that? I said to you, do not be afraid. Do not be worried about anything, about the gods of those people. They are gods. Don't worry, because I am your God. I am the Lord God who has delivered you, who has done miracles, who has done so big things. Not only you, but their descendants even knew what I have done for you. And why you are forgetting that and putting what is temporary in your eyes and your mind and saying, this is more powerful than what happened in the past.
Yeah.
And why are you forgetting my power? Why are you forgetting the things I have done for you? Don't forget that. But because you forgot me and reminded yourself every day of what the present demon God looks like, and because of that, you are under a bondage. But because you have cried out to me, but because you did a right thing, because the Bible says when you are in trouble, don't run away from church, don't run away from God, because that's the first thing devil tells you, because that's the first thing people practice also. Run close to God. Run towards God, because He is my shield. He is our buckler. He is our fortress. He is our everything, protection He is. And they did the right thing coming to Him. But after what? Sufferings. Which were not because of God, their own fault.
Yes.
And the Lord said to them, you did this. And now the angel of the Lord, 11th verse, came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abrizite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from the Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And have I not sent you? And he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in the Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And then he said to him, if now I have found the favor in your side, then I show me a sign, and it will be as I talk to you. Go down to verse 22 actually. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you and do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord, or Lord is peace. And to this day it is still in the Ophrah of Abrizites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal at that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in a proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer as a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord said. But because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, and too much to do it, he did it in by night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the story of Gideon and how he rescued his people. It's the story of building an altar. But before he built an altar, God gave him an instruction which is very important. God said to him, now build me an altar. And before he said to him, build an altar, he said, you must tear down the altar for Baal, whatever you want to say him. Right? He said, you must destroy the altar that your fathers or your people in the city have created, and you guys have been worshiping him. You guys have been acknowledging him. What is Baal? Represents a demon god. Represent what other Canaanites and other people around Israel at that time worshipped, followed, or revered. And the people of Israel, having the real God, having the right God, they veered off from their lane and went into their lane and started worshiping the Baal. And God said to him, it's not just you will build the altar to me. No. I want the altar for me personally. But before you build an altar, you must tear down the altar which is in presence, in your presence, which your whole city looks at. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't say, just build me an altar and I'll be happy. God is not just after altar. He wants altar. It's significant. But he said, before you build an altar for me, you must tear down the altar of Baal in among you. Hallelujah. As I said, Baal is basically a demon god. A Canaanite worshipped him. And as a Christian, you might say, I don't worship any other god. You might say, I don't bow down Because at workplaces or other places, I have people of other religions and other gods, and I do not practice what they practice. But listen, Baal is just an ideology, or said a word in here, but it really means what is your in your life a distraction, what is in your life a worship, what is in your life what Baal represents, what the demonic things represent, what those things which you are playing around with the kingdom of darkness represent.
Yes.
He said, you build the altar for me. Yeah, you have to, you should, you will, and you must. But before you build that, you must tear down this thing. Because it won't benefit me, it won't benefit you, it won't benefit other people around if you have two altars, one to worship me and one to worship the Baal. Either you can pray or you can mingle around with sin. Either you can live for God or you can live for flesh or the world. Either you can worship Satan or you can worship your God. You cannot worship together two things. He said you must remove him from your midst. You must tear down his presence. You must uproot him, break him, put him down, and let there should be a no sign of him, his existence, and put on the top my altar, which will show God, my people, that I'm the real God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is your weakness? What is your things which come before the altar of God? What is your altar in your life which is between you and God's altar? What is between you and God? That thing God wants out first before you build the altar for him alone. Hallelujah. God wants to remove those things. God wants to bless us. But to bless us, you have to make an altar. You have to make an altar for God. But before that, building an altar, you must. Don't settle in things that you have been doing for years. Don't settle that maybe God is okay, listening, looking, whatever I'm doing. Maybe he's pleased, or maybe he has not said a word to me. Maybe he's okay. No. God is not okay. He is giving you a mercy period. God is watching, God is looking, but he's giving you some time to change, to act, put things together again.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying you, that you must acknowledge and just must examine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And see things in you which are not of the Spirit or of God, and you must tear down those things. Because if you don't tear down those things, you may be able to build a small altar, maybe able to build a little bit altar, but it won't please God. Because God doesn't want just from you something, and he's a Bible talks to him, he's a zealous God. He's a zealous God. Means either give me fully or don't give me. Don't play with me. Either give me, that's why he said, either tithe 10%, don't give 8%. You're wasting your money. That's it.
Yeah.
Either give fully or don't give.
Yeah.
What did the husband and wife when they came to Peter? They did.
Yeah.
Huh? Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah. What they did? They never asked God that I should or not should.
Oh, right.
They went and they said, here it is. Everybody is doing the same thing, and everybody is getting popularity. Everybody is being blessed. Oh, why we shouldn't try this out, husband and wife? Let's do it. How much? We sold it for a million. Oh, they don't know anything. Let's give them 100,000 and say, we give the biggest. And they did.
Yeah.
He said, you're not fooling with me. You're fooling with the Holy Ghost. And when you fool with the Holy Ghost, let Holy Ghost come to you and talk to you straightforward. And when he came, there was no time for repentance. There was no time for mercy. There was no time for anything. Why? Because they were playing around with who? With the Holy One. And we as Christians, we cannot play around with the Lord Jesus. We cannot play around with life. You have to either live for God or not live for God.
Yes.
Either you went to come to church, come 100% or don't come. But come, please.
That's right?
Right? He said, you lied to Holy Ghost, not to me.
That's right.
And he got his reward right away.
That's good.
Hallelujah. The time 24 is, we have seen 21, 22, time flies.
Mm-hmm.
COVID came, fly, 23, 24.
Yeah.
The coming of the Lord is at hand.
Yes.
The coming of Jesus is hand. Like, very, very close. You may have been playing. That's okay. Don't play this year. Because it won't be well for you or anybody else. This year is not a time for play. Next year is not even thinking about play. The further year, 26, 27, it's like we are coming close, coming close, coming close to see who? Our own King, our own love of life, Jesus. And we are living Christ, Christians, as for Christ Jesus. So you have to tear down things that are not of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Craig that day he said the Lord impressed upon him, and he has been checking things in him. He has been dealing things with him and his wife, and they have been talking before God. Lord, is this okay with you now? No. This is not okay. Is this all right, Lord? Can I touch this? Can I do this? This is not sinful. Can I? No. Why? Because the closer you are getting to the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, the least margin you will get. The close you are coming, the least you will get. And everything of the flesh, everything of the satanic nature, everything of your old man has to be ripped out of you before you build an altar for God. Yes. Hallelujah. Because presence of God will come on the altar. I'm not going ahead of the story, but if you read Elijah's story, when he put the offerings, the fire from heaven came and consumed. Why? What is the fire representation? It's the presence of God. Yes. It's the Spirit of God. When the presence came, it consumed. The presence comes when it's a right sacrifice. Right altar is made. And you can make one altar only in life. You cannot have two altars. That's why Jesus said to him, listen, I got it. You are weak? No problem. You are least in your household? No problem. Nobody knows you in that city? No problem. You don't have to be a big shot to be for me. Nobody knows your neighborhood. Nobody knows your workplace. That's okay. You still can make an altar. It's not just high-end people who are in the scene for thousands of people. They are only responsible to build an altar. Anybody and everybody has and can make an altar. Yeah. That's why he said, I'm the weakest. My clan, my people, my father's house is the smallest. And I'm in the house of smallest, the least. God said, I can use you. Yeah. We can work. We can work. But how? Don't worry. Drop that altar. Destroy it. Yes. Tear it down. Tear it down. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Tear it down. Doesn't matter how much force you need. Tear it down. Mm-hmm. And he did it at night time so that people can see. And he did it. And then the Bible says he built an altar for him. Yes. Hallelujah. Can I take you to Galatians 5 chapter? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Galatians 5. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I'll read you Galatians 5 from 16 to 21. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary to one another, and that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are evident, clear, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and like that, which I tell you before, and I just as I told you in the past also, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you may say, I don't drink. I'm faithful to my wife. I'll break down every single word for you today. To help you out. Hallelujah. These are called the sins of the flesh or sins of the hidden heart or sins of your soul or mind or things in your inside. These are the things. But let me tell you one thing. The word iniquity and the word sin are not the same words.
That's right.
You need to understand that. The word iniquity is different than the word sin. The Bible tells in Isaiah 14 chapter that the iniquity was found in Satan. Iniquity was found in him. Iniquity is a different Hebrew word, and sin is a different Hebrew word. If you see the Bible where David sinned, in Psalm 51, he said, "Lord God, blot out my transgressions, heal my iniquities, or clear out my iniquities, and forgive my sin." All these kind of things he has said. He said different words. Yes. I wrote down something which I liked, which I have never thought of before, which will, I think it may help you or not. Let's see. Where I write. Iniquity is the essence of sin that is yet not committed. The essence of sin which has not been yet committed, that is called iniquity. It's not an action, but the character of an action. Iniquity is not an action. It's a character of an action. Remember, Satan has not done anything yet. He just thought in himself that, wow, he is called the lofty one. He has the throne. He is this thing. Angels worship him. Oh, I can build an altar. I can build myself a throne. I can build myself a higher throne. He was thinking in himself these things. And he was presenting to the other angels these things. But God said to him, I found iniquity in you. And when in Psalm 32, if you read, he says, the psalmist, he says, I acknowledge my sin to you, my Lord. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Then the psalmist David, when he has sinned with Bathsheba, he said, blot out my transgressions, Lord, in Psalm 51, 1 verse and 2. And wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Some sins are of the flesh. Some sins are hidden. Some sins are visible. Oh, 99% of you sitting here, you don't drink. You don't smoke. Right? These are obvious ones which you judge people and say, oh, look at that drunk here. Oh, look at that, he's smoking. He's not welcome in the church. But let me break down some of these and see if we fit anywhere here. Hallelujah. Because before you have to build an altar for God, you must clear out these things. You cannot have two things in you. Have one, not two. Now, I tried my best to break the words. Now, let's start with the first word, which is adultery. These are sexual sins. Adultery is immoral sexual intercourse. Whether you read, whether watch porn movies or books. Then the next is fornication. Fornication is also when a person, it's also a sexual sin. I'm just reading it out. I'm not saying anybody of you, I'm just reading it out that it doesn't imply to you, but just check your heart, examine yourself if you are in there or no. If you're a young person, are you looking at some magazines which you shouldn't be looking? If you are a married man, you are sneaking out and touching and checking out other women when your wife is sitting in front of you. Yeah. Because these are covering these categories. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's be excited about this too. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's not just... Listen, Jesus said, if a man has looked at another woman with a wrong intentions, where? He's not touched even Jesus, what are you talking? But he had intentions in his heart or in his mind that one day when nobody's looking, I'll talk to her. When nobody's looking, I'll ask her something, coffee, whatever. Right? These are called intentions. And Jesus said, listen. I know your heart. I know your bones even, bro. I know everything about you. So, listen, you are flirting. I'm seeing the iniquity is being built in you, being risen in you. Now, before it takes the form of sin, you better watch. By the way, it's Old Testament. He said that when you look at woman or when you touch woman, you say he's doing adultery, he's doing fornication. I tell you, if even if you look at woman, you are sinning in your heart. And Jesus was purely bold about this thing, that you have to put sins out of your life. You have to sin no more. You have to touch this no to a woman. He said, listen, where are your people who came to throw rocks at you? But listen, daughter, sin no more. To a man, 38-year-old, hey, guy, I heal you. But listen, what do? You sin no more, because the worst will come on you. Because you can do one thing in life, either live for Christ or live for your own body. And that the sins, I'm talking, some are of the flesh and some are of your insides, which needs to be cleaned out, cleared out before the presence of God can come and abide. Listen, it's one thing the Holy Ghost lives in you. It's another thing the presence of God is upon you. You cannot just say, oh, Holy Ghost is in me and I speak in tongues. So what? It's not the praying in tongues which you do 5 minutes and you think you have shot the moon. That will help you to save people, or that will let people know you are my one of the Christ people. But the presence of God will convict them. But that will only come when you will be away from these sinful things. When you will be away from touching accursed things. When you will not be even thinking about them. Hallelujah. So he said adultery, fornication, and uncleanness. All these are sins of the flesh. Having desire for wrong woman, having desire as a married man for a woman, married woman for a man, having desire for a woman to woman, man to man, having a desire as an unmarried man to other things which are not for you. So these are all wrong sins which has been listed here in category chapter 5 of Galatians. And then he says lewdness, which is basically a longing in you, a desire in you for things which are not yours, whether it be jobs, whether it be positions, whether it be something that doesn't belong to you. Means you are inside, there's a craving for that, unhealthy desire for that. Hallelujah. It's helping you if you believe me. Idolatry. Adultery was which was found in Judges 6. He said, why were you doing these things? Right? Idolatry, which is worshiping anybody but God. Even if you put any man equal to God, equal to the word of God, or higher, you are in adultery sin. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Adultery, to worship men, ghost carved idols, to believe in a person or a thing, to give someone a place equal or higher than the word of God. Then sorcery, which is basically a witchcraft, worshiping vampires, worshiping demon things, or black magic. The fun starts now. Hatred. This is not a sin visible to the flesh. This is not a sin which will be seen in action most of the times. But it can be in you, stirring things in you all the time. In your heart, in your mind, for people you like, for people you don't like. Listen, I'm telling you, he said, these things I'm listing. If you do these things, the kingdom of God will not, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a message we preach. Kingdom of heaven is which you go. And you will go to kingdom of heaven. Don't worry. It's a place, kingdom of heaven, which is heaven, where you all will go because you have believed Jesus Christ and you've given your life. But even if you are not 100% right living, you'll still go if you live close to your mercy period. I'm not bringing any wrong doctrine here. But kingdom of God is a message which is given to us. John said, repent of your sins, turn away, because the kingdom of God is nigh. Means the message that Christ is bringing is very near. He's away just 6 months from me before he'll come and preach you this message. So turn away from these habits or sins or things you were doing in the flesh before. Turn away, turn your back. Don't do it anymore, because the kingdom of God is coming. Means the message is coming. Means the doctrine is coming. Means how to live victorious He's going to come and preach you how to be anointed. He's going to come and preach you. But if you live in the sin and don't repent and do not change your ways, the message will not benefit you. He didn't say that you will not go to heaven. He said the message will not benefit you. How many Christians in the world today, they say, we go to church, we tithe, we give, yet we are under curse. Yet we are under curse means yet we are under the effects of curse. Yet we are not reaping the benefits we should be reaping. Yet we are faithful doing things of Christ, but yet we are not seeing the hand of God the way we should see. Or they don't know how the hand of God should work. But why? Why? Because people... The kingdom of God, the message of God, only works for those who live according to what it is written here in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are the covenants of God, as Reverend Greg said. These are covenant of God, promises of God. It should and work for every single child of God, whoever puts it into action. But you cannot put into action if you are not 100% giving yourself for this. Those Israel people were great. They were God's people. But because they were not 100% giving and they just had one thing, what was the thing? What was the thing? They were afraid of the demon god. Yes. Yet they sowed. When the time of reaping came, Satan came and took away the harvest. Yes. How many times we hear from people, I've been sowing, I've been giving, why it's not happening, why the debt is on me? Time to examine. Time to check. Time to help you, because God helps through His word always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope so. I'm not boring you, but this is a message. Hallelujah. Hatred. Hatred basically is enmity, excessive disinterest, hating those who get in your way. Oh, I applied for that job, but he got it. How come? Don't do that. Don't do that. Be happy and say, God bless him. He got it. Because when you do this, maybe God will promote you above him in a few days. But your hatred will keep you beneath him for a long time. Yes. Hallelujah. He said hatred. Hatred is when you have hate in your... Hate is not seen out. It's not in your hand, it's not in flesh, but it's somewhere in your mind, in your heart, somewhere. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Jesus said, out of the bad things, about the abundance of heart, which means the bad thing out of the heart, he brings bad things. Yeah. Right? About the good things he stored in his house, he will bring good things. So there can be bad things stored in that, but now is the time to clean that house. Right. Now is the time to tear down those things which may be from ages in you. It won't benefit you this year. No. It won't benefit you next year. Because this is year of building an altar. Maybe next year is a year going further than that. God will not just say, okay, you said, God, let me. What was the last year, sir, pastor? What did you say? Build an altar? How? That's what we are telling you now. Yeah. That's what Pastor Kick said to you on Wednesday. Yeah. By the Spirit. Hallelujah. So hatred is one. Next is contentions. Means quarrel, angry quarrel. There's one thing people talk. There's another thing when they're hostile and they talk. Whom they will hurt, whom they're trying to hurt. Nobody's listening when you're quarreling. Only you and the other person and third person is listening is Jesus. Whom you're trying to hurt, that when you're talking about the fifth person who is not even there in the room. When you're getting hostile, angry, and saying, how dare he? How you're doing all those words, you're using all those languages, and you're thinking it will benefit you when you come to the local church or when you pray. No. These are the things you must tear down. Contentions. Then next is jealousies. Oh, these are big ones. Big, big ones. Not being happy for someone. Or someone's life. Or someone's success. You reap your life success because of your faithfulness. You reap your life success. Listen, success is not given to to favoritism by God. Success, the principles of success God has laid in his Bible. Whoever picks and puts into action, whether you are educated, whether you are uneducated, you will go where God wants Amen. To take you.
Amen.
It's for everyone and everyone.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when you say, he's where I should be, but he got it, or she got it, or why, how come he is getting blessed, how they're being promoted, how they're buying cars, how, jealousy won't help you. Listen, I'm not talking in the church alone. What about at workplaces? Because in church, you are 3 hours in a week. You are at work most of the time. You are working with the people whom you are talking at lunch breaks, whom you are talking when you are working in a shift. They might be telling you, oh, listen, my son got this thing in the job. It's a $200,000 package, and he's got promotions. He's got this thing, and you might be listening, uh-oh. And then the next thing, they're cussing. Next thing, they're telling, I'm throwing a party there. You guys can come and drunk and all those things. And you're like, how come God? And what is, if you don't check, yes. there can be starting a root of jealousy in there.
Yeah.
You have to keep yourself clean because you don't see his success and say, oh wait, I want this. But you say, God, thank you for him. But it's not for lifetime because Bible says, David said, though we see people flourish, though we see people get up, though we see people expanding, but it's for a moment. But your success is rooted in God forever if you stay with the principles. And how do you do that? By keeping your heart right, not letting jealousy grow up, not letting jealousy for anybody to sprout out of you. Hallelujah. Outbursts of wrath. It's an anger. It's, again, the same thing. When you're angry and quarrel with people, you have to control that. When you don't get the good news, don't just throw out everything and throw out every single doctrine out of the window and start mouthing people because it won't help you.
Yeah.
Selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions is basically seeking power, seeking influence, seeking position, whether it's for you or not, instead of asking God, does it belong to me or not? That's called selfish. Dissensions means seditions, putting division in people. Putting division in people. Don't put division in people, whether it's in the house of God or outside at your workplace. Don't do that because God is watching you in the house of God and outside. For why? Because the promotion comes throughout life, watching your life in and out, not just 2 hours in Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heresies. Heresies is basically an act of storming people for own desires. Splitting the church, even if some people can do, into selfish people groups through destroying the unity of the church. I'm just giving out the definitions a little bit here and there, wherever I have studied, so that you can check your heart. Am I doing this? Am I not doing this? If I'm not doing this, God, thank you. But if I'm doing this, Lord, I should change. I should tear down this thing. This won't help me. This won't help your kingdom. This won't help anybody around me. So let me do it. Envy, ill will, annoyed with the people, getting angered, wanting his thing, which he has, which you don't have.
Yeah.
Check it out. Murder, simple, to kill, slaughter, and slay. Drunkenness, to harm mental, physical, through intoxication, causing disturbance. Most of you, I don't think you do that. Revelries, which is carousal, as if letting loose, to eat excessive, to party excessive, to be always in that whole mood that doesn't matter, being excessive of natural things.
Yes.
So these are all, as I said, I just read you few verses, few things. Now, you may say, Lord, nothing in this implies to me. He is just wasting my time. Somebody said, no, maybe it is. So it is. Good. Listen. It may be not thing from here it implies to you, but if you go before God, none is perfect.
Yes.
If you go before God, he will let you know. Because I have not sent certain things in here which I can tell you by without even telling, seeing from there. which is maybe God has asked you to pray a specific number of hours and you have been not doing that. What is that? It's not written there, but that is still our disobedience to God. What is sin? Missing the mark. What is sin? Disobeying God. What is it's falling short of what he's asking. Everybody has sinned. None is pure. None is perfect. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of the standards of God, basically. Yes. Hallelujah. His word is standard. When we don't live up to that, it's you are falling short. Maybe you have been doing the word. You have been doing not drinking, not partying, not doing this thing. But listen, maybe because of your age or something. But listen. As I said, why did I say that, Lord? Hallelujah. I don't want to take in flesh, but let's keep in there. It's important to check your heart. It's important to check your insides. It's important to see inside, am I ruined? I'm not ruined. Am I right here? Am I not right here? Lord, do I have anything little bit against anyone? If this there ill will here, even little bit, is there anything against my man of God, my woman of God, or my people who are sitting beside me, or people who I don't sit beside in the church but at the work, or somebody who I see oftentimes once a week or two times in a month in a bank when I go and say, please wait, is there something against that? Listen, you don't know, but you will be surprised when God starts telling you, okay, this is the thing you have missed a mark on here. I would want you to pray here. I would want you to fast here. I would want you not to eat this way. I would want you to do this certain. I would not want you to speak this way to that person. I would not want you to treat that person this way. We are not angels, guys. We are still in this flesh. And it has to be crucified till the Christ comes. It has to be put to the cross till he comes. And it will arise if you don't put it down. It has to be subdued every day. That's why Jesus said, who will follow me? Because the price to follow me is heavy. What is that? Lifting up your cross every day and following me. Yes. What is that? Basically, putting the sinful desires out of you every day. Because you don't pray one day. You don't read the Bible 2 days. What will happen? These things will start coming to you. These will things coming to you. Whether they are not in you, but Satan will try to bring certain things around you. Why? Because he's cunning. He's smart. He watches us every time. The Bible says that he is like a roaring lion, watching from a distance that whom may I can attack. He attacks those who are weak. When you are weak, when you have not built an altar the way God wants. And why can you build the altar? Why? Because if you have the altar of Baal before it, then God will not allow you to build beside it. Why? Because nobody can take God's place. Only God can have one place in your life. That is the highest place. Amen. You must say no and away from these things and then put things in place which should be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I read Romans 12 chapter? I know time is far spent. I'll try my best to do as fast as possible. Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and verse 2. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Now, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, the Passion Translation says that, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifices, all and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, and for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop intimidating the idols or the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read through, which I love, is Message Translation. It says, so here's what I want to say to you. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Don't delay, respond to it quickly. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It talks about our ordinary life. It talks about our day-to-day life. It's not just talking about our Sunday 10 to 12 life or Wednesday 7 to 8, 10 life. No, it's talking about everyday life. Because God is checking you every day. God is watching your intentions every day. God is looking at you every day. These things has to be out of you from everyday life. Hallelujah. Then you can say, Lord, I want to build an altar. I want to build an altar. First, you have to decide, as Pastor said that day, make a decision. Make a decision. Hallelujah. Joshua said, I have made a decision. I don't know about you all. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know about you. But he said, I will live like this because I'm a father and my children will follow me. Mm-hmm. Parents, you have a work to do. You cannot just tell your children, live like this, and when you live the other way. Children doesn't listen to you much, but they watch you more. Yeah. They copy actions more than they copy your words. If you don't do, they won't do. If you don't be faithful, they won't be. If you don't live right, they won't. If you mingle around with these sins I have said, watch. You can say all those good words and bring verses out in a counseling session. They will follow your footsteps. Hallelujah. That's why he said, I want you to build an altar. And on that altar, what is an altar built for? Then you put a sacrifice on it. But what's your sacrifice? Your life.
Yeah.
Your life is a sacrifice. And that's why Jesus said, Paul said here, that bring all yourself. I don't want just your money. I don't want your just 2-3 hours in a day. I just don't want few things here and there. I want whole of you.
Yeah.
I want whole of you. I want your heart. I want your body. Isn't your body my living temple?
Yes.
Isn't your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost? He didn't say, how then you can say the unrighteousness and righteousness can match? How can you say Baal and Jesus can be one? No, it can be, because one is different and the other is different. One is darkness and another is light. If you want to build an altar, you have to live for right thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And for that to live for a right thing, you have to must judge yourself before judging anybody. You have to must examine yourself before examining others. Jesus said, look at your eye in front instead of looking at him and telling him, oh, wow, you have so many things to work on. You work on yourself. Let pray for God. God work on his life too. But be open for your life, because God can work only in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you offer yourself as a sacrifice, and how, when you offer yourself as a sacrifice, then you can build an altar.
Yes.
First, you take things out of your life. Then you sacrifice, you give yourself wholly to God.
Yeah.
Whatever He expects from you, whatever He wants from you, whether from your time, whether from your money, whether from your body,
yeah.
He may say, don't eat this way. Don't eat that way.
That's right.
Because this body is not yours anymore. Yes. It's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He may ask you, give me this time, but you say, I don't have time. But listen, this time also is in His hand, because the Bible tells seasons and times are in the God's hand.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can bring out any way, it will come into His hand. He has given this to us. He has authored for us. He wants the best for us. He has prepared for us the best. But to achieve the best, you must live according to His standards.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And His standards does not permit the standards of Baal. His standards does not permit the way the world thinks. His standards does not allow the way your friends or your culture has been giving to you. Because they are sneaking you out from the place of the spirit into the place of the flesh or the sins of the mind or the heart. Hallelujah. But we must examine. We must check. We must constantly and regularly check. How many times you check your bank account? How many times you check your car while in the workplace? Oh, pee-pee, it's there. But why don't you check your heart all the time? Lord, is there anything that is hurting you? Lord, is there anything that is between you and me and our future? Is there anything between your presence coming upon me? Why I cannot feel your presence? Listen, I love David. He sinned. He falls short of the glory. He falls short of the mark and standards. But his first thing was, he said, I'm king. I don't care who I am. He threw the his kingly robes and everything, and he went before God and said, God, forgive me. Yeah. God, blot out these transgressions. God, I have missed the mark. Forgive my sin. God, just cleanse me from the iniquity of my sin. I have done wrong. I should not have done this, but sorry, Lord, I was not 100% work thinking that, but sorry. God, forgive him. Yeah. Hallelujah. He has to pay the consequences. His son was dead. Yeah. The consequences of sin always stays there. But what happened? God restored him. Yes. And God called him. He's the man after my own heart.
Yes.
A man who sinned. A man who took somebody else's wife. Just we talked about sexual sins. He took somebody's wife and killed that man.
Yes.
God. Huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We must check ourselves. Before I close, I'll tell you three things before. I won't take like half an hour to tell you three things. I'll tell you in 5 minutes because I have to close. Huh? How can you build your altar? How can you build your altar while spending a lot of time for this Sunday, because it's first Sunday and I wanted to be what God wants to me to preach or speak. I spent a lot of time in this, and three things that has come to me how to build an altar is, I'm not saying anything else, God, Pastor Greg has said, you must be in word. You must be in prayer. This is not the time that you read Sunday and you don't read 2 days and then you read Wednesday. And then you don't read 2 days again, then you say, oh, I'm convicted, and you read Saturday morning 2 verses and then say, I'm free, I'm going to Sunday tomorrow, that's okay, I'll read the Bible there. No. That is not the time anymore. To build an altar, first thing you have to do is you have to have undivided focus or undivided attention. You cannot have your attention divided in two things. If you are at home, you have to have attention towards the word, and then you should not have the phone in your hand. You should not have the iPad in your hand. If you're writing notes, that's fine. But if you know the iPad is distraction, if you know the phone is distraction, if you know that sitting in front of TV can be distraction while opening Bible, don't sit in there going somewhere else where there's no TV. Why? Because you cannot build an altar with things of natural around you. Because that's what people think. Oh, that's okay. I can watch TV and I can do this. No, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. Turn off TV for 1 hour and say, Lord, 1 hour I'm giving to you. This is my word time. Not giving to you alone, but it's for my benefit too. So I'm studying the word. Study, meditate, break down, go into details, depths for your own benefit. Not that you have to preach out, but for your own benefit, for your own development, for your own spirit, for your own well-being of your mind. Go into detail and study every day the word without undivided attention. Because if your attention is divided, you will not have the best of either the TV or your spending time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Have divine focus, like Pastor Greg has been saying from long. Have a single eye. Have a single eye. You cannot live life with the two eyes going this way. You have to go one way. Well, Victoria, you cannot go this way, right, Victoria? You have to go this way. Hallelujah. And second thing is, which we lack big time, which is consistency. This is the biggest thing people miss. You're not consistent in your gym life. Bro, there's no result in there. Ask people like Brendan and everybody. They go to every day without a break, man. I don't know how they do. I don't know. You cannot have the best results without being consistent at it. Every day. What is consistency? Every day. Listen, let me ask you one thing. Do you work? If I ask a person, okay, let me ask him that how much he work. If he says, I work for 2 days in a week, and she works 6 days a week, let me ask you, don't judge, but okay, who earns more? The person who's working 6 days if they have both same jobs, right? If they have both same jobs, who will earn more? The person who is more consistently being seen by his boss, who is being more productive at his work, he's the one who will get the proper. What do you think with God it is? You cannot just go into his presence in one day and say, God, make me the star. You cannot. What you have to do is, you have to go every day, every day, every day. Yeah. I don't feel it. Doesn't matter every day. I don't have time. Make it every day. Sleep less, eat less, go out less, do whatever, but go it every day. Why? Consistency is the key. To make an altar. When God told Gideon to make an altar, if he said, Lord, boys, we have time. We have time. The people of our enemies just came. We have time to sow, and they will come the next harvest. We have 6 months, 4 months, whatever time it is. So let's take it easy. Warmly, we'll do it easily, and we'll do it slowly. Today we'll work 2 hours, then tomorrow is off. But then, 2 days later, we'll work 4 hours. But then, nah. I don't work on Friday and Saturdays. Sunday's Lord's Day. I don't do that. You cannot do that. Right? Right? Yes. Come on, guys. Engage. Right?
Yes.
Consistency in your personal life will be seen by everybody.
Yes.
Everyday life. You have work everyday life. You have a social life. You have eating life, you have going out life, you have things, whatever pleases you, you have a life for that. That's called routine.
Yes.
You have to have a routine with God. If you don't have a routine with God, you will miss big things from God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God has told things to make an altar. You have to have a routine, consistency. Don't say, God, because I have 2 weeks off now, I'll go 2 hours this week every day, but after that I'm starting working. I don't have time. 5 days is enough. Five minutes is enough, Lord. Wow. No. If you are doing 1 hour, then do 1 hour every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. I don't have time. Okay. How can you have a consistency and routine? Don't follow somebody else's routine. Go home, pray before Holy Ghost and say, God, you know my schedule. You know my work life. You know my everything. What routine fits me? Or where I fit in this routine? You know my 24 hours. Where should I go? What hour? In the morning, 5 to 6? Or at night, 8 to 9? 3 to 4 in the morning? Whatever time it is, God will give you the best time, which will not tire you out, which will not miss you anything in life, which will give you the perfection in every part of your life. Why? Because He's perfect. He knows the perfect timing and fitting for you. Ask Him, God, which routine should I follow? It's 1 hour, half an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours. Because as a pastor has a lot of time on his plate. He can have 5 hours a day. But you, if you're working 8 to 10 hours a day, you cannot spend 5 hours a day. But God has a specific set of time, routine, consistency that can help you to make an altar in your life.
Amen.
Go ask that. And He will let you know.
Amen.
He will tell you. And then when He tells you, doesn't matter if you feel or not feel. Because you will not feel most of the time.
Yes.
But once you start going in, that presence will start coming, your things will start working out, and you will start flowing with Him. This is called consistency. And can I say the last thing, which is very important, and people, most of you here, not judging you, just like you, I'm also one of you sitting on this side all the time. Another thing that people miss is staying close to your local church on Wednesdays. I know it pinches. I'm sorry. But I'm telling you exact thing which it came in my heart. The Wednesday anointing is not the Sunday anointing. Let me ask you. Do you eat the food you cooked on Sunday, on Wednesday, or Wednesday on Sunday? No. Will you? No, you want fresh. It's not wrong to have, it's not wrong to have fresh food. But I'm saying you do that, right? For your physical body. But what do you think God is? He prepares fresh meal for you on Wednesday. And he waits for his people who are at work, who are coming out of work, who are in busy schedules, taking out time, who are putting things away, which are demanding their time and saying, okay, no, Lord, I'm going to his house because his house is important. Yes. Wednesday is the most critical for our church people. I'll be honest with you. You know why? Because it builds you up. Yes. It helps you. And it's a special day in the midweek God has created. You can have your children goes to school. Okay, everybody has children. Some of them are gone out of school, some are in school. Doesn't give you right or permission. I'm not saying dictating you, I'm just saying to you, if you want to build a proper altar, you have to have an involvement in the local church the way God wants. God didn't say, okay, there are out of 500 people, there are 250 who are free. Out of 250, there are 100 people who are willing. Out of 100, 80 will show up. But Craig, Reverend Craig, do it. He didn't mean that. When he created, he wanted everybody to eat. If you have two children, do you cook for one? And say, I'm not cooking for you. You cook for both. And you want whole family to come and sit together. If you want to have social graces, if you want to have all these natural standards in your life, why can't you have the spiritual standard in your life? Wednesday is important. You go to work. I know. Everybody goes to work. I have job in the 5 in the morning. Okay, take a nap when you come home. Do whatever feels good or schedules you good. But I have to, if you are willing, you will do anything. If God was willing, he did everything to send his son for us. And we say, oh, we don't have time because I don't want to break my kid's schedule. Oh, really? You are sowing the seeds of unfaithfulness in them and you will reap in 5 to 10 or 15 years. Then you will say, God, why it's not working? The doctrine only works when it is put to work. And when doctrine will work? Only when the things are in place. And what things? Your life should be a life of a altar. Praise, power, prayer, on the word. That. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 And then Gideon built an altar. And you know our church logo on the side? It came from Judges 6, if anybody's new, if you don't know. Our church logo, the rock and the fire, it's from Judges 6, the word and spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the life God wants. That's the altar God wants, where the sacrifice is you and power of God, the fire of God coming down every time to bring the presence around here so that people at work will see why it's different in you. Why you are different. Why when you speak, it's different. When you walk in the office, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the classroom, if you're a teacher, when you walk here and do this thing, why does I feel different? Why do I think? Then that's your clue to say, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. But if it's not happening, it's not God's fault who doesn't want to come. It's whose fault? Our fault. What is our fault? We have not built an altar. And this is what God said to Pastor Craig, this is a year to build an altar. Yes. This is a year to become serious. This is a year to give your whole in. This is a year to sacrifice everything in you, to put away things of the flesh, of the mind, of the everything away from you and build in you a righteousness, build in you the holiness, build in you the cleanliness, build in you the purity, build in you so clean in you you are that I want to come to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll end with this. I was just listening a few days ago, this week, actually Thursday, and I was talking to my wife, to someone whom is a big minister in India, and me and my pastor, okay, we are going next month, and we are going to go and see him. His name is Ankur Nurla, and you know, the word he gave for 2024 is exact the same which Pastor Craig gave. Wow. I was listening on a 31st night, he prophesies. He has a big following of over 1 million, 2 million people. His church is 3,000-4,000 people, one branch, and he has 100 branches. And he is leading so many people. And he said, this is the year of building building altars. And if you are not building altars properly, your sacrifice will not be consumed. How cannot you build an altar properly when you have things of the flesh still in you, when you have Baal it's still in you, when you have things of flesh, sins of mind, sins which are seen, hidden, sins which are everybody knows or nobody knows, still in you. God can free you. God is there for to be out of that and build an altar so that he can stay there all the time. His presence be there all the time. And how to build an altar? With a word and spirit together. Consistently studying word and everyday praying. Following a routine with a focus which is divinely. And then staying close to your pastor. Staying close to your man of God. Oh, today pastor is in the Holy Ghost meetings. I'll watch live stream. I will think two times if I'm in your shoes. I've done a few times. Don't take me wrong. But never when I was a regular member. Only when I have other responsibilities, I did it as a pastor. But other than that, I've never done before. I've done jobs which are 4 in the clock. I have to start. I was still on Wednesdays here. Slept 3 hours and drove whole day. Why? Because inconsistency is a power. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Your life should be built as an altar so that the sacrifice is you upon it and the God of our lives can come and consume, and out of you goes out his life, touching, reaching, and setting people free. Amen. Hallelujah. We as a church are called to do many things. We are an important part of this society. Don't look at the numbers. We are an important part of this age. We are an important part of this city. And we means you all. Yes. We doesn't mean this building. You all. As an important part. For that to fulfill, you must build an altar. That will be according to his standards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, let this word settle. Let the word which Pastor Craig preached, and I didn't do anything away from it. I just followed him and gave the next word, my Father. That is, this is the year that you want the altar to be built. This is the year, my Father, you want things out of us, of the flesh, of sins which are seen or known or nobody knows, but out of us so that, my Father, we can live pure, clean before you. And we can offer, that's why Bible says, offer yourself as a living and holy sacrifice unto the Lord. Holy, living sacrifice unto the God, because this is your acceptable service. This is your rational Lee service. This is our job to live like that, my Father, so that you can come and stay with us, upon us, and people can feel your presence around us. People in the society, people in the workplaces, people in our homes who are not saved can feel your presence upon us, my Father. But that will only come if the altar is built right, and the altar will be built only right if the altar of the Baal, altar of the sin, altar of the demonic things is out of us and the altar of God is ready. And when we do that, you always come. When you do that, you always come. And when you come, people know that you have come, Father. People know that you have come. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for this word. Let your word be glorified. Let your word be exalted high. Not any man or any woman, but Father, your word. Your name, Jesus, be exalted high in Jesus' name. This word produces in them, Father. This word produces in them, Father. And they will do everything this year to build those altars, my Father. They will do everything in their power with the help of the Holy Ghost, following him in every single way. And they will build the altars that will please you, my Father. They'll build those altars where your presence will come, my Father. They'll build those altars and those things, hallelujah, which has been hindering from years will be the matter of seconds, my Father, because of your presence. Because of your presence. Your presence is a precious thing. Your presence is your precious thing. How will they know? How will they know that we preach Christ without his presence? How can we preach if we have sin in us? If we have things of the flesh in us? Because his presence only abides where there is holiness, where there is cleanliness, where there is nothing of flesh, nothing. So Lord, let this ear be ear of examination. Let this ear be not poking fingers at others, but looking at ourselves completely with the light of the word. And things that are hindering for your presence to come, we tear down those, we separate from us, and we become the way you want us to be. And then we, Father, as you come upon us, people will see it. Lord, people will see this church, Father. People will see this church. People will long to come for this church, Father. As the prophecies have been made, like ants coming to the anthill, people, Father, are gonna come here, my Father. They are gonna look for it, my Father. They're gonna look for it, come for it. God, we are keeping the standards of righteousness. We are keeping the standards of the word. We are keeping the way you want in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for Pastor Greg and Pastor Jenny. And thank you, Father, for these people whom they love and them also support, Father. I bless them in Jesus' name, I say amen.